Hello and welcome to Go Global, Bremen Business Talks, the podcast about the companies, technologies and people that connect Bremen and Bremerhaven with the rest of the world. The Go Global Bremen Business Talks podcast is a joint project by Bremen Invest, the Bremen Chamber of Commerce and the Bremen Ministry of Economic Affairs, Harbors and Transformation. I'm your host, Boris Felgendreher, and in today's episode we dive deep into the future of sustainable aviation. My guests today are Gabi Söhner and Hubertus Lohna. Both work at Airbus and for ECOMAT, the Center for Eco-Efficient Materials and Technologies based in Bremen, Germany. ECOMAT is a research and technology center for climate-neutral flight, lightweight construction, innovative materials, surface technologies, and the digitization of development processes. In other words, ECOMAT plays a key role in the world's quest to make aviation more sustainable. Let's go. Hello, Gabi. Hello, Hubertus. Welcome to Go Global Bremen Business Talks. Thanks for being on the program.
What a pleasure for us. Thanks for the invite.
Hi, Boris.
Thank you very much for the invitation to come here. We had the ECOMAT in Bremen, very close to Airport City, which is an industrial complex, an office complex, very close to the Bremen Airport. I've driven by here many, many times, and today I'm actually inside the building. So thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here.
Awesome. I want to talk to you about the future of sustainable aviation and space, like I mentioned in my short introduction, which of course is a heavy, heady topic that's at everybody's interest right now, because sustainability and greenhouse gas emissions and climate change are a major topic of conversation for industry, for Germany, for everybody involved. And let's dive into it. Gabi, I noticed when I researched your background that you've been with Airbus for over 30 years, is that correct?
Yes, that's absolutely correct.
Fantastic. So you've never seen any other space than Airbus?
Of course, Airbus is a big company, yeah. So therefore I visited a lot of things. And from my career, I went through techno development. And of course, I get in touch with a lot of industries that we work together in the frame of funded projects, and also to meet institutes and partners that could benefit with what we are doing, what we are developing. So it's not only purely Airbus itself. I visited a lot of companies and have a lot of insights and working together with people.
Yeah, and it's funny, if you work for a big company like Airbus, it feels like you've worked at many different places. It feels like you have a whole career under your belt, which is all one company, but it feels because you go to one place, you're in France, and then you're back in Germany, and it's typically a very career, even though you stayed with one employer for the whole time. Same thing for you, Hubertus, right? You've been with over 20 years of track record at Airbus.
Exactly. So I started my career here at Airbus in 2003 in the materials process area, and from the beginning on, I was involved as Gabi in funded projects, but also in the development of new materials and technologies with a focus on sustainability. Mm-hmm. Former times, you don't use this buzzword, but the target was, from the beginning of my first project, was the replacement of hazardous substances, of coatings, of sealant materials. So this is, and when I did my studies years ago in Berlin and Graz, my first intent was also to do something to support the environment, to have a Studiengang called Umwelttechnik, so environmental technology in English, which I was not good enough, to be honest. So I started then with as a chemical engineer, make a short trip to Graz, and then I make my PhD here in Bremen at the university, and then I started directly at Airbus,
awesome.
Just by chance, to be honest. My target was more chemical industry in the southern part of Germany, but I liked really the company and the product. I think this is the main point. The product at the end is fantastic, and your own feeling with the product. It's something different if you generate some powder, some liquid, whatever, or you contribute with some tiny parts to an aircraft.
Yeah. Gabi, are you an engineer by trade too? I mean, is that what you learned? Are you
an
engineer?
Yes, I'm an engineer, and I just wanted to jump on that point just to say something to it. It's not only the product itself, it's really amazing that we are working on, but it's also the way we're building this product. So how we engineer it, how we at least will then influence the design of such kind of product to make it better, to improve our industrial system, which is more or less, it started in the mid of the 80s. So with the ambition to manufacture 1,000 aircraft. But let's see how we are today. What is the rate, monthly rate that we are doing at the moment on single aisle? Amazing. So we have to work also on an industrial system. how this will, with all the suppliers around the world, how this will then work together and also take care about the people, maybe include some kind of robotics, make use out of the data that we are collecting. So I'm also an industrial architect, and all of this is also key for me and really, really interesting.
Yeah, let's maybe dive into that a little bit during the course of the conversation, because, you know, we do want to focus on the sustainability or the environmental impact of flying itself, of aviation and a little bit of space. But we also have to think about a larger context of what the entire industry, what the impact of an industry is on climate change. So maybe we'll get to that as well. But before we get started, I did some research just to find out what the actual impact of aviation is on greenhouse gas emissions, because that's an easy one. Even though I know that greenhouse gas emissions are only part of the equation and we have to think about it in context of a circular economy, but I pulled a few numbers just for context. And I found that according to the European Commission, aviation is one of the fastest growing sources of greenhouse gas emissions. That's number one. Could be contested, but at least according to the European Commission. But that's probably mostly due to the fact that air travel has risen so tremendously over the course of the history of aviation. If you look at it, it's just this graph that goes up and up and up. And fuel efficiency and so forth, while improved, it couldn't catch up with the influx or the sudden rise of global air travel. And it turns out that aviation is responsible for 2.5% of CO2 emissions, which doesn't sound as much. But if you think about it on a personal level, if you're a frequent traveler, for example, there's a famous example that you might know where if you do a round trip by airplane from Europe to New York and back, you're generating as much greenhouse gas emissions as you would if you're heating an average house in Europe for an entire year. So if you're a frequent traveler, air travel kind of impacts your CO2 emissions footprint quite a bit, which is not to say a lot of progress has been made. And we want to dive into that as well. What the levers are that we can pull, or what you guys can pull in aviation that could make the global climate impact of aviation a bit more digestible. So maybe who wants to start? Gabi, do you want to give us just an overview of the different levers that can generally be pulled to get aviation to a place where it's more sustainable and environmentally friendly in the long run? What are the general levers that there are before we dive into some specifics that you at Ecomat are working on?
Yes, of course. We at Airbus have a great ambition just to contribute to the decarbonization. And I think the year is 2050, where the complete environment and we on the world have no plan B. So therefore we started, and we from Airbus side want to contribute to this. It is, of course, something that is really, really ambition in terms of flying hydrogen. Yeah. So therefore I'm part of the famous zero emission program that I really like to, and I'm responsible for the storage of hydrogen itself. So we could maybe later on then talk about this topic. But generally, we have a strategic development on how we would like to contribute to this. And maybe you have heard about this sustainable aviation fuel, which is something that we are working really deep in. And there are some aircraft, Hubertus, I'm looking at you, that we have all already in operation, that is flying sustainable aviation fuel, which is the first step for us. So therefore, the product itself need not to change a lot. No? This is something that we could really, really on short term implement. That is where we are working on. And then, of course, the industrial system itself is also a focus on, not to have at the end a decarbonized flying aircraft and product then in place, but the industrial system itself remains the same as it is today. No? So therefore, we are also working on it. And I guess, Hubertus, the materials itself that we are using, is also a topic that we are working on.
Yeah. Yeah, Boris, you mentioned this was a more general rule before Corona that the worldwide air traffic doubles every 15 years, so as a rough order of magnitude. So, and for sure, reflecting this trend, even before we start talking about climate change and climate crisis, aviation, also space industry, has a high interest to reduce the fuel consumption, because as lighter, and this is one of the key words here at Ecomat, lightweight construction, low-weight materials, as lighter the aircraft or the spaceship is, as more load you can take, or as longer you can fly, or as less kerosene or fuel you use at the end. So this is more or less a general behavior, a general target to be lighter, to be as efficient as possible in aircraft and space, and even more in space industry. And for sure, with upcoming discussion about the climate crisis, Airbus committed to this decarbonization of the air traffic. So this is really a new step. Mm-hmm. So, and as you said, there are different approaches. So the first step is, if we implement now and today's date aircraft from the neo generation. It has roughly reduced fuel consumption to a 20-year-old aircraft, reduced by 15%. So this is the first 15%. So this is the first tiny brick. For sure, we can operate, can work on the operation of the aircraft, use more direct flights, no waiting time in the air and so on. This is another aspect. And for sure, sustainable aviation fuel. We should not repeat. You mentioned it already, Gabi. And at the end, then the use of alternative fuels like the hydrogen, which should be really have a strong effect on decarbonization. And what we learned from our colleagues, that these are all, these aspects are building blocks to reach really our targets, which we have committed as Airbus.
And this is really important that we do have a kind of roadmap. No? Strategy is also a roadmap. It's not by waiting until 2035 where we have the ambition to bring in that kind of new aircraft on the market. Yeah, but this is what we are working on, a zero emission program. Yeah, but at the end, this kind of making things better is starting now. So the roadmap is there, and sustainable aviation fuel is one of the big impact. The other thing that you were saying is also about the performance of the aircraft itself. So to be lighter, to work on structure that is lighter, no? To improve also, and here in the Ecomod we have also a target in terms of the movable stuff on the wing. So everything that is moving on the wing and all these items definitely influence the performance of the aircraft itself. So therefore, less fuel consumptions, as you said, no? And therefore, less carbonization in the air then at the end. Now, so all of this is coming together. It's not only the ambition of zero emission aircraft, it is also zero E aircraft. It's also about everything that leads up to a product that is starting now becoming better and better.
Yeah. So just to summarize, I hear you, maybe if you categorize the different levers we can pull. So I heard something around, I would call it operational improvements as a route optimization, load optimization, better air traffic. That sort of low-hanging fruit that's already been done, that's in the works, and that's comparatively easy. And there's the other part around aircraft and engine technology, that you make engines more fuel efficient, for example. There's a lot has been made there. And in terms of the wings, for example, aerodynamics, all that part would categorize under that. And there's aviation fuel, so there's biofuel, synthetic fuels, all of that. That's probably a whole big part. And then the last category, as I would categorize as R&D or the breakthrough stuff, as in hydrogen and maybe electric planes in the future, some thought along those lines, which is a good transition into talking about why all of these levers cannot be pulled by one single company alone, right? Which is, we've been talking a little bit about Airbus now, and even as big as Airbus is, what larger company it is, what footprint it has, and so forth, no single company can go this path alone. That's why it's so important to build an ecosystem of partners that have aligned interests and similar goals, so you can work on this together, which is a great introduction into Ecomod. What Ecomod actually is, how that came into life, and what you guys have built here. So maybe Hubertus, take us back to the ideas. When did this first come into people's minds that you guys should join forces and build something that's larger than just Airbus or just Boeing or whomever, but larger, a larger mission, so to speak, of an ecosystem?
Yeah, it's around about 15 years ago. So it started first at internal project. So that we want to bundle the competences and the people and the lab areas from the materials and process area. So a simple efficiency approach, which was not realized at this time, because we very soon realized that we have to onboard our research and development supply chains, so our cooperation partners. We have a long history for decades, very good relation here with the University of Bremen and all the institutes like Fraunhofer, DLR, Leibniz, and so on and so on. We have a strong and trustful cooperation, very successful cooperation. And this was more or less in the initial time and the initial point to think about combining this in a private-public partnership model. So also this was not born in Bremen, this idea. We have similar technology center in Hamburg with the Zentrum für angewandte Luftfahrtforschung, with the CTC in Stade, and also in the other countries of the...
So in other words, this side of ecosystem approach was an established thing. You've done this before. There's not something new, but it's been tried and proven in other areas.
Exactly. And what we tried for sure to learn also from other experiences to make it better, to make it even better, to have an own approach. So every center has a slightly different type of organization. For example, the ECOMAT is organized as an association. So this is a weak organization. It's really cooperation based. We don't have additional staff, but the advantage for sure is that we don't have to found a new institute, a new GmbH, whatever, which could be in competition to other research institutes, existing research institutes, or other small and medium enterprises. So this is the benefit here in the ECOMAT. The idea is clearly to cooperate. It's not to come here and to expect an order from Airbus or Ariane or from the industrial partner, but with having an intent to work on the relevant technical themes, which we have mentioned. So the backbone of the ECOMAT, obviously, is the materials process and testing area. So this is the majority here. We have then a second very important pillar, everything about the movable system. So everything which is on the wing, which make it an intelligent wing. We have a third important pillar with the space area. So it's not only focused on aviation, but also on space and more also on other industries. So materials process technology is generic. You can build from the same material an aircraft, a car, or whatever. So this is the clear idea. And some two new activities, two new pillars of the ECOMAT is on the one hand, everything about simulation, about virtual development, virtual testing. We do it very intensively with our partner from DLR. And for sure now with the zero-E approach is the hydrogen activities. And here for sure in Bremen, we have the clear strength that we have both space and aviation industry here. We learn a lot from our colleagues from our 40 years experience on hydrogen, from our defense and space colleagues and our Ariane colleagues.
Yeah, and you're right in pointing out this is a real cluster of competence here, right? Like Bremen inside of Germany and Germany inside of Europe. I mean, this is a major hub and you're benefiting from an existing ecosystem. But bringing them all together inside the walls of ECOMAT, so the people can't see it, but the listeners, I mean, this is a large building because it has laboratories and its offices and so forth. So describe to me this space and how it's organized and how, and maybe also talk about the funding, because we haven't talked about how this whole thing is being funded and what the business model is, if there's such a thing as a business model for it all.
So I think first coming back to the ECOMAT, ECOMAT is a technology center in Europe, which is really focusing on this development of sustainable solutions, technical solutions. So this is no greenwashing. The ECOMAT includes words like eco-efficiency, like materials, like technologies. This is more than 15 years old, this idea, this name. And as I said, this was our intent more or less from the beginning on, that we focus with our partner network on these technologies. The question about the funding for itself, yes, it's a private-public partnership. So the ground where the building is built, it's on Airbus ground. It was handed over to the federal state of Bremen. The building itself was realized by the federal state of Bremen in terms of the Hage, a GmbH, which is part of the Wirtschaftsförderung Bremen, Bremen Invest. And the commitment that we gave as partners, as Airbus, to rent here spaces and laboratories at least for 10 years. And I think we will stay here now for 6 years. And I'm quite certain that we will not move after these 6 years has passed. For sure, this is a long-term cooperation, a long-term commitment, obviously. So at the end, the financial model is based on the incoming rents and will be paid then after, I don't know how many years.
Yeah, but I was thinking maybe there are some patents that, for example, were developed that could later on lead to licensing. Is there anything in terms of a bigger business model of where this actually in the long run will pay for itself, or what's the...
We are an association, so it's not an additional business model like this because all the cooperation is done in the frame of either a funded project. So there are the rules for IPs, for foreground, background IPs and so on are clearly defined. Or it's done between a bilateral or trilateral direct cooperation in terms of a subcontracting. And also here we have clear rules. So and as always, when we come now together here in such a room and we discuss some technical ideas, there's always, not saying the risk, it's always, could be possible, let's say in this way, that someone catches an idea and steal it. But I never, you're laughing and you're laughing with good reason because it's a little silly, but so the cooperation doesn't work. As I said, we have here a very long trustful relation to all our partners here. And just by mentioning here an idea, you don't generate a patent. You have to write it down. It takes a lot of time. It will be checked. It will be double checked by authorities and so on and so on. And that's why it was always highlighted. Yes, there may be an issue, but in fact, it was never materialized that we have problems with IT, with non-disclosure agreements or whatever. So yeah. We have this experience. We also know when we have to draw a line and when we said yes, we as partners have now to stop the discussion. Let's make a non-disclosure agreement. So we agree on non-disclosure. And we have then the chance when the document is written to go more into details. This is something usual. It's not unfriendly. What this is a normal way to protect your own ideas, to protect your own business model, and this is how we work here. In a very good and very trustful way. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're around about 500 people here.
Around about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you manage a place? I mean, this is not a small team. It's not like people that fit in a conference room, but it's a big organization. 500 people is a lot of people. What's the management structure? How do you manage the efforts of 500 people that work at different companies in their daytime, so to speak, but also, like, how do you align their goals? How do you align their projects, their missions? How do you manage a place like this?
For sure, we have, I don't know the English word, the Satzung, so the main the contract of the association, so the main ideas, they are written down. So everyone who joins the club agrees to these main targets, to main ideas. For sure, all partners, all companies, all research institutes are also first an individual company. So Airbus is organizing itself. But the target of ECOMAT, of the association, is really to boost the cooperation. So we have regular meetings on a monthly basis where we discuss everything operational, what kind of events we want to do, if there are some calls or some projects which we want to join, if there are some new technical trends, if there are some issues, whatever, all these things are discussed on a regular basis. We have then different kind of events, starting from small networking events with maybe 40 to 30 internal people coming to a regular workshop format, which we call ECOMAT Circle, when we really deep dive more on a technology topic like 3D printing, like artificial intelligence, like whatever. So the different topics we are discussing here. And we open us also to the full community at Bremen and around. So to politics, to economics, to research community, but also to normal people with an annual event. So these are the fixed formats, and for sure we contribute to expositions, to conferences, and to a wide types of activities where we are contributing.
Yeah.
So the organization is quite lean. It's just every member has a representative in the association, okay. And this is then the basic group which is discussing and cooperating then in terms of funded projects only.
Yeah, Gabi, maybe let's jump into a few specific projects that have already come to fruition, some things that have already been accomplished, some things that you're proud of, that you've finished, where you could show off as case studies of something that has actually worked, as well as a few things in the pipeline, things that you're working on that are just sort of long-term, with a broad long-term time horizon. Where do you want to start? What's some of the issues that you want to highlight that exemplifies how you guys at ECOMAT work together and how really this ecosystem we're talking about is actually coming together and actually creating something of value?
Yeah, of course. I want to mention one project that I was deeply involved in my role as an industrial architect. So we had in Airbus this project called Wing of Tomorrow, so working on a new type of wing, focusing on the industrial system itself, so to how to manufacture wings and assemble wings and equip wings. And this is mainly in Airbus between, of course, Toulouse, but UK. UK is the place where the wings are built. You know, we have a small part of it, so bigger wings, but a small part of it here in Bremen with the long-range wings that we do equip here in Bremen. So therefore is a lot of knowledge existing on site, and we have the focus on the former high lift, but nowadays we call them movables. This was a part of Wing of Tomorrow program, which was looking also in the wider community to work together with partners worldwide, so from Japan up to European industries and all of this. But here in the ECOMAT, we have the opportunity to work. We call it in Airbus co-development, so really close together with our guys from engineering. The really early configuration of a wing, it is called Future Project Office. And then at the end, us as the industrial guys that have the knowledge on how to manufacture everything. So the product itself benefits from the so-called end-to-end process itself. And having then also the partners around it, the other Nutcos and Airbus that are working together, and Ecomart was a perfect place to bring all those guys together. Yeah. So it was nothing where you have to have a kind of access is allowed to enter the site where you could see as an external partner what we are doing there in our hangar. So the Ecomart itself, we could exchange, yeah, as we did it with in Corona with all the Google Meets that we had, no? So not so much around us, no, that gives the insight, but this is a perfect place where the people could meet, could also show where we are working on to have the samples and also have the opportunity by making use out of the laboratory, yeah, which is also a kind of more or less give them the opportunity to do some NDT stuff, no, on a product that they built up, for example, and to discuss it case by case.
Just to summarize, what's the actual outcome? What's the actual product that's now been commercially already in use? Or what's the actual product that came out of what you just described?
When we are talking about R&T, no, it's nothing that is now in production or in operation. Yeah, we are working more on the things that we bring together then for the future product. But an outcome out of this collaboration is sometimes a kind of step change on our current fleet in Airbus. Yeah, so to make things better. But more or less for me, I'm talking more in the frame of R&T. So therefore, the technologies related to the design itself and all of this coming together here.
Okay, cool. Let's get back to another example. But Hubertus, I wanted to ask you, I can imagine, and I have to come back to this idea of the fact that there's 500 people here with great ideas. Maybe there's 500, maybe there's 1,000 different ideas of things that could be done. How do you prioritize? How do you set the agenda? How do you make sure that you're actually pulling on one string and you're actually gathering all your efforts behind the most promising projects? How do you separate ideas? How do you prioritize? And how do you organize around all of these ideas that are probably worth pursuing?
So obviously we as association have also to follow the overall strategies of the partners. These for sure the industrial partners like Airbus, like Ariane.
They could all be conflicting for all intents and
purposes. They can conflicting, this is completely right. But there are also strategies from big research institutes like DLR or Fraunhofer Gesellschaft or others, but also from local institutes. At the end, it's not on me as Ecomart, leading Ecomart to prioritize activities. It's more or less a decision of the members. They want to cooperate, for sure they have a technical topic, they want to join, we have to find a right balance. So it's always also not the case that all partners are contributing to the same project because the variety of the partners is quite large. So normally we get a consortium of different partners, normally led by an industrial partner or supported by small and medium enterprises and the academic partner network. And at the end, it's not on me to decide this project should be done or this will be done. So I realize a project which are ready to done in this network. It's a little easier for me. And this, they are completely different. So I started with a project on sealant material. It's a more or less, let's say it's simply a gap filler in the aircrafts. So in this material, we insert some holospheres, tiny holospheres, and so the whole material is lighter. So this is qualified and part of the A380. So making the aircraft lighter, saving some fuel and reducing the environmental impact at the end. Only a tiny building block, obviously. We have other activities, for example, everything about 3D printing. Yes, it's one aspect could be also to be more efficient, cost efficient, but the real strength is really to design a part new, design it in line with the boundaries of a 3D printed process, and then you can gain a very good weight reduction of the parts. You can do it in metal, for example, with some companies for producing valves. We obtained reductions down to 50%, really, reducing the weight by half. Also, this is flying now in aircraft. Much more parts are today 3D printed as plastic parts, because they don't have these extreme requirements concerning loads. So they are normally used in the cabin area and cargo area. And here we have a high variety and a high number of parts which are now 3D printed, optimized. sometimes cheaper, but also definitely lighter than today, let's say the old school part. Mm. I mentioned already the replacement of hazardous substances. So this is something continuous in terms of chromates, in terms of solvents. So, and at the end, you mentioned, yes, you are more on the R&D part, but this is also something special for Ecomat. Most of the other techno centers in Germany and also in the Airbus countries are focused really on this R&D part. Due to the fact that we have here the backbone with materials and process, we are also responsible, the Airbus partners are responsible also for the implementation of the materials and the process, for mm-hmm. the qualification. Mm-hmm. We have some partners with our partner Testia, who is doing non-destructive testing on the flying aircraft, so as a service provider, and we are supporting supply chain. So we have more or less really the full life cycle of the aircraft in the focus, for sure with a bit more on the research, development, qualification part. Yeah, this is the majority of the activities. But here we have really a wide scope and a lot of applications. Mm. And it could be really engaged. So it sounds a little, we talk about techniques, we talk what we do as engineering. At the end, we are working really on the key aspects, on the key technology enablers for a sustainable aviation.
Yeah.
And for a green, not don't say green aircraft, green future, whatever, to support the Green Deal, to support really, yeah. To react on climate change, to react on climate crisis, coming out of this mode, only seeing the issue, but contributing and working, really engaged to a solution.
Yeah, and they may sound like small things here and there and small tweaks, but in aggregate, together, they can make a real impact. But one of the future things that are going to have a big impact is the whole topic around hydrogen. And we mentioned earlier, let's zone in on hydrogen as a future in aviation. Where are we and what is the vision of where hydrogen can take aviation in the future?
The vision or ambition? This is the question.
Yeah. Well, it's related. So let's talk about both.
Ambition sounds more for me like something that we convinced to bring it into operation at some point, yeah? So therefore...
So let me phrase it differently. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about a situation or a question of whether hydrogen has a viable place in aviation. The decision is made, it has a viable future in aviation, and now we're at a mode where how do we get there? Is this about a fair condensation or simplification of the...
What we are working on in Zero Emission Program at the moment, yeah. So I could speak for myself. Major thing for this new type of aircraft is, of course, how to store these kind of things. And I am responsible as a project leader for the ZEDC, so two places, development center, where we will build up, in the first instance, a tank out of metallics. So there we need also that kind of experience that we do have in our sites internally. So in Bremen, we have the experience more on the system installation stuff as we do it on the wings for the moment. And then also on the testing itself, which is also a big part here in Bremen. And then this is brought together with the great experience that we have in our site in Nantes in France, where we have a lot of experience in terms of how to manufacture metallics, so to form metallics, to weld metallics, all of this. No? And out of these competences, we will build up the kind of storage system for the COE aircraft that we are working on. So to have then hydrogen inside of this type of tank, this is key, and there I'm responsible for. And of course, we are looking through funded projects to find partners there to help us on this experience and to build up those kind of storage systems.
Yeah, where are we currently? Do we already have a prototype of a hydrogen-powered plane? Where are we currently in the evolution of the technology from inception or idea to fully commercially available and in everyday use? Where are we on that spectrum currently? With regards to hydrogen.
I think when we talk about hydrogen powered aircraft, the idea is also not new. I think the first trades have been done in the 50s of the last century. Mm-hmm. I think there were also one prototype airplane in the 80s. So that it works in principle from techniques. Yes, this is understood. This work could work.
Just like there were the first electric cars long time ago. And then we disabandoned the idea and then it's second life, so to speak.
Directly again to Gabi, because now it's the question how to realize it, how to make it in an industrial system, how to make it so that it could be accepted by the authorities, that's accepted by the customers, and at the end that's also efficient, because we can assume that the new fuels may be more expensive compared to today's. So at least comparing the price today. So we have also the need to become even more efficient. So we change on the one hand the fuel system itself, but we have also to guarantee that we make the aircraft lighter, or to improve the aerodynamics, to enable that we have at the end have a good compromise between the new technology and the price to pay for flight.
Okay, maybe ask a different way. What are the different chips that have to fall into place? And not just around the fuel cell or the using the hydrogen. There's a few more factors that have to come into play, from the availability of hydrogen to the price of hydrogen, the infrastructure. Maybe take us through the different components that have to be taken into consideration to make this an everyday reality where it actually is in use in a way that's economic and efficient.
Maybe I could also refer to, and this is something that you could Google or see on YouTube now, this is this nice movie that we've made with the A380 flying testbed now, where we will mount then a new type of engine. So you already mentioned the fuel cell, and then we have exactly that kind of stuff where we will implement a storage system inside of the aircraft and then distribute what is inside the tank to the new engine. This is what we are currently working on. So the first flight test will happen soon. So it will not be this year, but as far as I remember, I'm not quite sure, it is around 2026. That is on target with a fuel cell. Fuel cell is also something that we are working on, also in a team that is located in Hamburg. So new type of technology. We know this now, but not for an aircraft. This is something that we are working on. But all of this coming together with the storage, the distribution, and then at the end, the propulsion system itself. This is key. Yeah. And then around this, we will build up the airframe and all of this, no? As we have a lot of knowledge on, but yeah, all the three pillars are the main critical ones for us at the moment that we are working on.
Yeah, and so we talked a lot about today about Bremen and the ecosystem you have in place here, but this is much larger. This is not even, I said earlier, it cannot be solved by one single company, which is true, and it cannot be solved inside one single town or city, right? This is a global, international effort at least. So talk to me about the sort of relationships and partnerships you have to form that go beyond the borders of this town to make this come to life. And you've mentioned a few. You've mentioned Japan earlier. You mentioned Nantes. You mentioned different places. Talk to me about this. How does this ecosystem look like, and what is the importance of the international connections?
Obviously, we can't do it only here in Bremen. We have development share here agreed in Germany. So with some focuses, when we talk about Hamburg, there. In Germany, responsible for the fuel cell system and the future final integration. Gabi mentioned already in Bremen, the main focus is a storage system in the metallic baseline. For sure, we need a distribution system. So this is a cooperation, Hamburg and Bremen, but also others. And at the end, we have the colleagues in Stade focusing on the next generation of a storage system, make them from CFRP, so carbon fiber reinforced plastic material, so even lighter, but not with the same maturity as today, as the metal storage system. So this is a split in Germany. For sure, we have cooperation then also Airbus-wide with other countries. We have complementary work in UK, in Spain, in France, obviously. You mentioned already the very good cooperation here between Bremen and Nantes with the two ZEDC, which are cooperating really together. Maybe you pick up this and then I continue with some other aspects.
I could pick up, no? Of course.
It's your job, yeah.
Yeah, it's my job, and it's also a kind of job that I really appreciate, because it's then bringing together different countries, yeah, different sides with a lot of knowledge inside to form a team with contributing to the ambition, to the roadmap that we have now. And the guys are really, really amazing in the jobs they are doing now, and the enthusiasm that they are taking every day just to think of how we did things before and how this will then help us to set up, even if we are talking about structure, yeah, to get in touch with each other. One part of it is preparing the tank structure. The other part, which is the case in Bremen, is preparing a thing like how we will get the hydrogen out of the tank and then distribute it to the aircraft. So this is a really unknown thing. It's about system, it's about pipe work, it's about sensoring. All of this is existing, and both sides are working really, really closely together in that case. Yeah, so even if we are thinking it's purely a tank, but hydrogen, to keep hydrogen in a tank is really, really ambitious. No? So a lot of things need to be clarified also in terms of the materials itself, no? How we weld materials, and this comes then back to the Ecomart. No? If we are thinking about doing a kind of welding seam that will then close some kind of structure, even a pipe, how to keep it clean, how to test it, how to test the welding seam itself in operation, that makes things then much easier for us, not to have a whatever 2 hours or 3 hours testing of one thing that we did in operation. So all of this is starting now, and all of this is starting especially together with the Ecomart here in Bremen.
We talked a lot about aviation today, but this whole part about space as well that we haven't covered yet. Maybe say a few things around what Ecomart is doing with space. We have a lot of vicinity here to HP and other big players in the space industry. So how do you work with them? And what are some of the areas of common ground that you have with the space industry?
So the first simple I mentioned already is the materials process area, because this is generic. It could be applied in a lot of industries. So this is one of the baseline of the Ecomart, but nevertheless, we have the colleagues from the Ariane Group and also from Airbus Defence and Space as partner in the Ecomart network. My personal view is, and this is one of the targets for this year, that we want to strengthen this cooperation, because my feeling actually they don't benefit as they could benefit from this cooperation. So this is the target for this year, for sure, and this is important, and also important now coming back from the international international cooperation back to Bremen, that we have in Bremen here the big advantage that we have Ariane with the 40 years experience in operating and designing and building hydrogen-powered records. So here we have a clear advantage. We have other players, not for space industry, but from other industries, like the steel plant here in Bremen, like company Faun, who's distributing hydrogen-based trucks, steel plant who want to decarbonize the steel production also by using hydrogen. So these are important players here on site Bremen. And for sure, we want to go in a future cooperation with these companies. So the idea of the future is to set up, let's say, a second part of Ecomart, which we called Ecomart Hydrogen Campus. This is something that we as Ecomart support for sure with the support of Airbus and the support of the federal state of Bremen to build up a new facility with a clear focus on hydrogen technologies. Mm-hmm. First on what we call cryogenic hydrogen, so this liquid hydrogen with a very low temperature down to 253 degrees centigrade. But also to other applications. This is a target to implement this for within the next years. And actually, we are discussing about two building blocks related to Ecomart. The first one is a Airbus activity, a new test facility for fire safety testing. Obviously, this is very easy to understand that we have to ensure safety when we transport, when we distribute the hydrogen. This could be realized, and this needs to be certified and demonstrated also to the authorities. And due to the fact that the behavior of liquid hydrogen is completely different to today's kerosene, so if you have today leakage, the kerosene drops down to the ground and you have a fire on the lower part of an aircraft. In future, you have a leakage and the hydrogen goes up and you have the fire on the top of the aircraft. So it's directly the opposite. The behavior of the material is completely different. And due to this fact, we as Airbus are developing a new test facility and developing new test methods, new methods to demonstrate the behavior of materials, of components, of systems in a hydrogen aircraft, in a hydrogen fire, and for sure also methods to detect hydrogen, maybe to compress a fire, maybe to ensure an inertization. This is a very important point for the certification, and that's why we are building up this what we called Fire Safety Certification Center, an Airbus own project, rough order of magnitude of invest 30 million euros. It's part of the Future Bremen concept. So the planning has already started. This will be get into service in 2025. And this would be then something unique in Europe. So we have today already a certified fire safety lab, but then we are more or less unique in Europe and play in the worldwide league of fire safety testing.
It's and amazing, this red tail of things that you have to take into consideration, right? I hadn't considered fire safety, which is a major, major issue. So you have to research and do R&D in all of these different directions to make the future really come to life. So this, which explains why this is such a long year effort and why it requires so many different parties to come together and play together and experiment together.
Exactly. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe let's talk a little bit about the future. I mean, you have a lot of people listening now that are maybe interested, hear about this for the first time, or maybe are familiar, but are sort of on the fence of whether it's something they should engage in. So give me your best pitch as to someone listening, why should they become part? Why should they collaborate with Ecomat and all the ecosystem players here? What's your best pitch, and what is your wish for how this whole thing will develop in terms of the ecosystem partner landscape?
For sure, we want to enlarge our system to other industries. We are now very good in space. We are very good in aviation industry. We start now with another technical approach, the so-called Innovations and Technology Center Nord, to cooperate also more and more with maritime industries. But there are other players.
You have
so for me,
next door
for
too
me,
here, yeah.
Exactly. For me, this cross-cluster, industrial cluster approach is really important. And here we want to open us to others, other partners. We are already in discussion. We as Ecomat are in discussion with other industries, with other companies.
Well, you have automotive here in Germany.
For example, exactly. Okay. We receive a very good feedback on this approach. So also we are now in the third, fourth discussion with other industrial partners. For sure, we have a strong support from the academic landscape. So materials processes, but also everything about hydrogen systems. We have the DLR for space systems. Also, they are used to operate and to investigate hydrogen for decades meanwhile. So my wish, my pitch is, yes, we want to have the right partners here in Bremen. We want to bundle our competences. As I said already, from my point of view, we in Bremen have the opportunity that we are slightly ahead compared to other towns, because we have this experience, we have this wider industrial applicants for hydrogen, and this we should use at the end. And we should bundle it in this, what we call Ecomat Hydrogen Campus, set it into service, hopefully by end of 2026. So this would be my wish, yeah? Maybe it would be 2027, but nevertheless, this fits then also to the Airbus and to other actors, because when we start then the real development of the aircraft itself, when we talk about improving continuously space industry, then it could be in place. And this is the target of the Hydrogen Campus and not the fundamental research, which we have to do obviously now. And some of it is already done, but we have to do a lot of principal understanding. But when we talk really about certifying, really about qualifying materials, processes, systems, all the subsystems. At the end, I'm looking at Gabi at the end, when you want to build up the storage system, the final storage system, you need a pump, you need a valve, you need a whatever, thermo element, whatever. And all this needs to be technically available, but also certified for the use in hydrogen, in liquid hydrogen, minus 253 degrees, and needs to be certified for usage in aircraft industries or space industries or automotive and so on.
Yeah. What's the best way of interacting with you? I mean, someone is interested. What's the best way of engaging? You have open days at events. What's the best format?
Simple. Have a look at our homepage or on LinkedIn. Please look at LinkedIn. Follow us on LinkedIn, Ecomat at LinkedIn. Yeah.
Okay.
We are keen to have new followers. For sure, you can give me a ring, drop me an email. So it's my rule, together with my colleague Bastian Müller from the Senator of Economic Affairs, Labor and Europe. So we have the pleasure to lead the Ecomat Association. You can also contact Moritz Steinhardt. You find also the contact details on the homepage. He's coming from the Bremen Invest, Wirtschaftsförderung Bremen. This is our job, but you can also get in contact with some of the partners from Airbus, from DLR, and so on. We are always happy to discuss on new technical ideas, to discuss with institutes. The University of Bremen becomes just a new member in Ecomat a few days ago, so really, really awesome. a good new player, but also discuss with other small and medium enterprise also coming for the supply chain. Main idea, we want really to cooperate, to co-work on a solution. I think this is the prerequisite, this we have to request, but then we are open to a lot of activities.
Sounds like a deal. I'm going to leave a lot of links in the show notes and hopefully people will get in contact with you.
Would be a pleasure.
Gabi Hubertus, thank you very much for being a part of the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you much.
All right. That was the Go Global Bremen Business Talks podcast episode about the future of sustainable aviation. I hope you enjoyed today's show. If so, please follow and subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any of the future episodes. You will find links to more information about the ECOMAT in the show notes. Thanks for listening. I'm Boris Felgendreher. Until next time.